And here we are for the last time today. We covered many cool stuff, and now it's to concentrate mainly on Windows security. Milat, they call me security expert as well, but can you, as Microsoft, show us what is really cool in Windows and what can prevent us from some of the mitigation attacks?
Sure, more than happy to do that, Errol. But before that, Errol, I think what is also important to just thank also the guys who are still online and watching us live. I mean, it's amazing to see that so many of you are still there. I see our camera team is cheering. It's amazing, really. And we do appreciate that. And we do read the comments afterwards and during the chat as well. I mean, you saw my name and the team's name a couple of times in the chat as well. So thanks a lot. Now, just like Errol said, I want to show and talk a little bit on what we have released over the past with 8, 8.1, and recently with the update release in terms of security. So how does Windows 8.1 differentiate from our other operating system we shipped before, and how to use it, how to use security capabilities of Windows in order to protect organizational data, in order to optimize processes and help people in terms of their own readiness. If you look into, in general, and this brings us back to actually the first module, when we start talking about BYOD, so bring your own device, I mean, we see so many different form factors, and users just expect now anytime, anywhere connectivity. And to be honest with you, after the build conference, when we showcased Windows 8.1 update release and Windows Phone, we did within the Dubai office an event called Rebuild. So the idea of Rebuild was to drive people readiness and showcase them, okay, what are the talking points when we looked into Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. One of the things I talked to them was when we covered BYODs, imagine we as employees of Microsoft, do we not walk every day across the street to go to Starbucks at the same time or to Costa, the barista of your choice, let's say, right? It is Costa, by the way, across the Dubai office. Okay, we go there, and every time I go there, I see some of my colleagues with their laptops, and they're working, or with their Surface, or with a Lumia 1520. And I said, this is bring your own device. And if we are doing it, believe me, the users of our customers and users are expecting the same quality. They're expecting the same capabilities to in order to fulfill their jobs, in order to fulfill their daily jobs, their daily tasks. So BYOD is going mainstream. We see a lot of Fortune 500 customers evaluating it. We see lots of enterprises across the globe getting interested. I mean, how many top sessions do we have on BYOD just next week on TechEd, right? So BYOD numbers helps increase the number of devices in an organization. At the same time, we need to make sure we provide the security capabilities in order to protect confidential data. So this brings us back actually to the module when we talked about CIA, right? Erla, what does CIA stand for?
What was it? What was the actual
CIA?
The Security Intelligence Office? No, you're talking about how much money you got.
Okay, so my money is confidential.
Yeah, the amount is integrity.
And what is the availability?
Whenever you want the money, you want to take it out, it's integrity.
Exactly.
So CIA.
Exactly. Very good point. So when we looked into and designed Windows 8.1, was really we put all those different things in focus, right? And we said, okay, with 8.1 release, we're going to focus really on BYOD, enable those scenarios, enable those typical scenarios users want to drive. If you look into specifically now the security investments in Windows 8.1, we looked into three pillars here. Identity and access control. So all about virtual smart card, modern biometrics capabilities. Looking into information protection is how do you protect information, corporate data? So, for example, remote business data removal. And by the way, all those capabilities, I will show them to you as well. How they work, how do you set it up? And lastly, it's about malware resistance. How do you prevent malware to come on your corporate machine, on your computer in first place? The underneath technology or the underneath hardware, we call it as trustworthy hardware. So trusted blue, platform module, TPM, biometrics, and so on. Let's walk through that quickly. So if you look into trustworthy hardware, we have UEFI, Unified Access and Sensibility Firmware Interface. Now, when we first shipped Windows 8, Adel, I'm not sure if you remember, but some press saying, oh, Microsoft released UEFI, Microsoft invention, secure boot. Do you think, Adel, this is a real Microsoft invention?
No. many people, okay, what, like BIOS, for example. What was BIOS? BIOS is the, or UEFI is basically the operating system in the motherboard, which is controlling it, right?
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure you all remember the old days where you used to press the computer, beep, and it used to check, hey, CPU, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, motherboard, are you there? I mean, motherboard. Hey, hard drive, are you there? Yes. It used to check the components. Let's load the anti-kernel.
Yeah.
But it's just the new
just legacy.
Version of it. It's
exactly.
Legacy. There is actually not.
I mean, that was written in, I think, BIOS was written in assembly line, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, how I compare it in real world, BIOS versus UEFI, I say, okay, you have a car from 1988, and now you have a car from 2014. Which one do you want to drive, right?
I'm a classic lover. No,
yeah, sure. Specifically, shall we talk about the car you're driving?
No, don't worry.
All right, so that's how I compare UEFI. UEFI offers a lot of new capabilities for us, for strong two-factor authentication options. It brings us new capabilities, which we will cover also. TPM, Trusted Platform Module. This is really one of the hardware we utilize quite frequently when we look into enabling, for example, BitLocker protection, right? The challenge we have in TPM was it was primarily used in enterprise computers, so OEM partners were not required to have a TPM chip on every device. What we are doing now in order to drive adoption, in order to make it more available not only for enterprises, but also for consumer, because we see BYOD is going mainstream, so we are seeing consumer devices now going into enterprise accounts, and the user wants to protect his data, the IT team wants to protect their corporate data. Starting 2015, we are making TPM a Windows certification requirement. So any device starting 2015 which gets shipped is required to have a TPM chip in order to have this known Windows logo on their device. And of course, the significant investment we made for modern biometric readers, and I will cover them in a little bit more detail as well later on. I mean, in short, we all know fingerprint has been quite a part of operating system quite a while. We started having a fingerprint support, I think, back in Windows XP timeframe. We did a lot of improvements in Windows 7. And in Windows 8, I would say we are going there, the direction we need to go and to push it to be mainstream. Adel, just a quick ask for you. I mean, we see it now in the slides. I mean, one of the challenges with security features is always, how do you demo it, right? So what I did instead is I prepared some screenshots, and I would like to ask you.
I know, I was next to you.
Yes. Surprisingly, we have some screenshots which you never seen before, right?
do you remember this morning? I had something similar. So Windows these days is so smart, it is able to detect a couple of issues straight detected. So nobody is gonna say this is a virus for you. But what we've done here is we did put it in the desktop again, and we called it Get Rich Quick Virus.
Yep.
So Milad is gonna go ahead and double click on
the
virus.
I was like, woohoo! I'm getting
and
rich.
And look at this. Press any key to be rich to continue. Basically, the virus is, as I demonstrated before, which is stealing your data.
Yeah, and actually it says even here, like, you are now infected. Dum, dum, dum.
Yeah, you know, very, very good hackers. So what happens is you go ahead and restart your computer. When you're done, hey, what happened? Your computer is not loading Windows. It went straight away for preparing automatic repair, which means Windows is smart enough to protect some system file components.
Yeah.
So it checks the certificates and makes sure that, hey, this folder is not, this new Integrity Get Rich Virus EXE is not part of me. So, sorry, I can't accept that. What I'm going to do is, I'm not even ask Milad if I should repair it, I know this is a malicious file and I know I had to fix it. And it will automatically fix it to you and come back to my face. I missed that sound. And you're going to see someone at Facebook made a really nice comment from Korea I just saw. I never enjoyed blue screen that much. Actually, do you mind if you come to my screen here? Yeah, in Korean, thanks to Bing Translator, seeing blue, you know, first time the guy is enjoying blue screen. Thank you, Sanki, my Korean MEP brother, for sharing it. You know, it's great to have someone in Korea to enjoying the blue screen which is around us, right?
Exactly.
Okay, Milad?
And just to add, so what happens in the background, like some technical bits there. When we shipped Windows 8, what we did basically, we utilized Secure Boot capabilities. And what it does is, we make sure that every single component which we are loading as part of the boot sequence is verified. And if something is not verified, like in this example here, we will make sure to run a repair process and fix it before launching the operating system. So this is just one of those examples, one of those security examples, security capabilities we use with part of UEFI and what is included as part of any device which is UEFI capable.
Yep.
So that's about some small portion around the hardware, right? Let's focus a little bit more around identity and access control. I mean, particular identity and access control is, let's say, a hot topic, right? I mean, we talked about the threat landscape. It's changing dramatically. It's all about identity theft. It's about getting your information and making things which you really don't want that they happen with your information, right? You don't want that your information end up on a website which hackers can use in order to get more in-depth information. You don't want that your credit card information end up on a black market, right? You don't want to have that.
Can I say thank you for not saying Erdal? You said hackers. You know, after 8 hours, thank you for realizing that I'm not a hacker.
Thanks for reminding. So you don't want that people like Erdal have at the end. Just kidding. I know.
All what I do is I'm going to use it in a use case from the field scenario and share it in the next conference. That's it. Nothing else.
Okay. So what we did in that specific area is, first of all, let's talk about virtual smart card capabilities. Now, we in Microsoft, for example, we all have physical smart cards. What is the downside of a physical smart card? First of all, it costs quite a good amount of money. Second of all, you cannot reuse it. Imagine the guy left the company, imagine he gets married or whatsoever, he needs a new smart card or he leaves his smart card. You cannot use the same smart card for other guy, right? So we have the cost, we have the inconvenience, it's hard to manage. So back in engineering, they said, let's try to see if we can virtualize that behavior of a smart card and utilize a TPM chip as underneath trustworthy hardware component. Now, when we ship Windows 8, we made that possible. And we introduced new APIs to make it more convenient to have virtual smart card in order to do a strong two-factor authentication. And I will show that in a minute as well. Other component is biometrics. Now, as I mentioned before, biometrics has been a part of Windows since quite a long time, right? We started supporting Windows XP, we supported Windows Vista, we did some improvements Windows 7, but it never really went mainstream. Now, you know the reason for that is quite simple. Now, we keep talking about the user experience and how important it is that the user enjoy what they're doing. Do you think that the user enjoy really to use biometrics capabilities if they really have to be really careful with the fingerprint sensor, with their fingerprint sensor and like swipe really, really slowly and again they need to try it again and again and again and again? At one point, the user will just give up and go back to his traditional password, right? At one point, there are discussions within the IT team say, hey, let's deactivate fingerprint technology because of the user experience. And plus, most of the fingerprint technologies or most of the sensors require third-party drivers, require third-party enrollment tools, right? So it was not part of the operating system. So those were all adoption blockers for us. Now, what we did when we shipped the new release is we try to resolve and address them, right? So what we did is we introduced biometrics capable as part of the operating system. So now we have the enrollment part of the OS. We introduced biometrics. We did improvements in the biometrics framework so that it becomes more convenient for users. We even introduced APIs for developers to make use of biometrics in certain modern app scenarios. For example, click to buy scenarios, right? Now if you go to the Windows Store and want to buy an app, you have biometric activated, you can use your fingerprint in order to confirm the purchase. So let me showcase some of it. So here, and let me be honest on the virtual smart card part, is how I feel great about it is that it is that easy to use, right? So what we did, I asked engineering, hey, can you do a quick app for me in order to do the Windows Virtual Smart Card enrollment? They said, yeah, we can, but we don't have the time right now in order to send it over to you. So we built some screenshots from it, right? And I'm going to show you how easy this enrollment experience is. So here you see under demo apps, the demo app for Virtual Smart Card. I open it, and this is just a sample app, right? So I have the option now, create a virtual smart card, change smart card pin, or remove virtual smart card. All I do is create virtual smart card. Now it will ask me for my credentials to verify that it's really me, right? I can use my fingerprint in that example, use my user credentials. Once I do that, it might take a couple of minutes in order to build that virtual smart card, in order that the authentication happens, that the TPM is getting all the keys required, the private key and so on. And it congratulates me, hey, you have a virtual smart card. And then all I do is, for this example, I want to connect to the Microsoft IT VPN for Windows RT, so Windows Runtime for ARM architecture. And now I'm able to use a virtual smart card in order for the authentication process. Now, before that, what did I need to go? I am a new employee at Microsoft. I go to the global security team. I take a picture. And then I walk with a temporary badge for the next 1 week. Then one day I'm getting an email from security saying, hey, your badge is ready for collection. I go there. And then hopefully the name is correctly spelled. The picture looks good. I say, thank you very much. I go to my machine. Then what do I need next? Hey, oh yeah, true. I need to authenticate first time with my physical smart card. Then I need to go to a website and do this virtual smart card enrollment. Hey, now you can just skip the physical smart card component, right? We have the same capabilities of a physical smart card and the operating system. We have the APIs ready for it. And if your computer has a TPM chip, you can do that. And you can do that today. You can have in theory one of those, like the sample app we have here for your organization, and start using virtual smart card in your environment.
Which is cool, I think.
Which is definitely cool. And just to show you quickly the biometrics part, right? Let me go to my demo environment. I mean, let's see, let me log on here. Keep watching Erdal if he's looking at my keyboard.
No, I don't need to because I placed a key logo.
Oh, I see. Well, this is not my production computer.
But you doing remote desktop?
Yeah.
And my key logo can still log that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're going to see it shortly.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, so let me click on settings, change PC settings, accounts, sign-in options. Oh, let me just, 1 second, biometrics, let's do it quicker. Okay, so that doesn't work through RDP. All right, so basically what happens on the sign-in options is that you're getting here now the option for fingerprint technology, okay? So you can choose there, say, hey, add a fingerprint, you do the enrollment, that's it. Now, one more cool thing around biometrics and the investment we did there is, what we did is, you know, before we had those the sensors, the swipe sensors, they're not really reliable. And that's one of the primary reasons why you had to really be slow, extremely cautious around the speed how you were swiping your finger. Now we have something called modern readers. With modern readers, basically characteristics are it's touch based, it has liveness detection, right? So, you know, we not only make it more easier for the user, you just touch it once, done, but also we have liveness detection support on those specific sensors. So what it means is that we know exactly, is it a dead finger, is it a plastic finger, or not? Is it a real finger? Is it really the user who is doing the authentication process? So again, this helps in order to have stronger mitigation options in place. And just to add on that, I'm sure I didn't check the chat yet, but there might be some questions around, okay, so when do we, how do we get those sensors? So we as Microsoft, we work with many vendors, with many OEM partners together in order to drive awareness around those modern reader capabilities. We don't force them, right? It's not say, it's not something like we put it under the Windows certification requirements. It's our recommendation to utilize modern readers. We see more and more OEM partners getting interested, and hopefully my goal is to really evangelize modern biometrics capability because it just makes sense. It just makes sense that you don't have one of those easy-to-go passwords. I mean, I think we made it really clear about the danger of using passwords, and biometrics could be one of those mitigation options in the future.
And I think Windows 8.1 has also inbuilt dead finger protection as well, right? So if I go and cut your finger and put it in your biometric device, can I just log in with that? Like in the movies, you know, they take the eyes out. Isn't that?
Okay, so it's not part of the operating system itself. Okay, but this is one of the characteristics of modern readers. So one of the prototypes, unfortunately, I don't have it with me. It's locked down right now. it has liveness detection. So the sensor itself has a capability at all, in order to, and we do support it through the drivers in order to have this experience.
And correct me if I'm wrong, I think you can also do some group policy management now as well.
Yes, we do have some fingerprint policies available, which users, IT professionals can configure. Absolutely correct.
Cool. So the management is also getting easier.
Absolutely correct.
All right, what's next?
What's next? Good point. Next is information protection. So device encryption, data revocation, and safe sharing. If you look into device sharing, Erda, I mean, we talked a lot about BitLocker, right? We know the importance of BitLocker in enterprises. And typically, from Windows perspective, it was part of the professional license and I think the enterprise license. I think Ultimate maybe as well for Windows 7, right? But what about now we keep talking about BYOD? What about the standard user who bought his computer at one of the stores? Do they get enterprise license?
I think we done it in the morning, right? I took your Surface. Yeah. I tried to log in. You had one mitigation, which was a
device encryption.
Device encryption.
Exactly.
And you gave also an example with your phone. But with the phone is that new feature. I know ActiveSync was doing it. But is it now also with devices like that?
Yes.
Is it still ActiveSync or?
Okay, so there are two features here. First of all, what we decided in Windows 8 release or 8.1 release was we want to drive device encryption. And we're not talking only about BitLocker, but device encryption in general, okay? So what we see say that doesn't matter which operating system version you're using, device encryption at all is always on, okay? So this is something new because we want to protect the data of our end users.
So if I sniff the data, like I didn't use the tool today, but if I use scan enable and sniff the data, it's going to be encrypted, right?
Yes, exactly. Oh. That's a good point, Erdal. Thanks for that. And then now the second option you said is around something called, actually the feature is called the remote business data removal, Erdal. And with that, you have the ability to wipe data, or more specific, and I will showcase that in a demo, in a real demo, wipe, destroy the EFS certificate and the key of that computer in order to not getting access anymore to that specific mail attachments or data on work folders.
I believe this is very smart because just deleting the certificate will automatically revoke the access and you don't have to send gigs of data.
Exactly.
Wow, this is smart. Seriously, I didn't know about it.
All right, so let me do your favor.
I saw the slides. Can you show it to me? I mean, I don't want to see slides anymore.
Happy to do that. And let me show remote business data removal. So let me go to my demo environment here. Okay, so now what I have is I have an Office 365 test environment here, okay? And Really, doesn't matter. What we need to do is for a remote business data removal, either we have Active Sync somewhere, right, through Exchange on-premise or Office 365, or we utilize MDM solution like Windows Intune or other competitor solution. We utilize OMA MDM protocol in order to send a wipe command. So, Erdal, by the way, I just hired you for Contoso Limited.
Thank you.
So you are now my... let me double check. Double click here. See if you can see it over here. I want to show you your beautiful new title. So, Erdal, you're working now for me as a principal cybercrime forensics architect.
Wow, this is 5,000.
And you just joined the suspected criminal activities group. Isn't that awesome? You work for me?
Yeah, why not?
Wasn't it always your dream? All right. So, Erdal, I mean, you trust me. So, you told me your password already for your corporate email account. Let me just show you here. Settings, account. So here I have erdal@corp.itproaddicts.com. That's the company name, IT Pro Addicts, right? So that's your email account. And Erdal, I just sent you an email, well, some days ago, which is a screenshot from a tweet from our session. Let me save that to my desktop. Let's go to my desktop. Let's save it over there. Save. Oh, sorry about that. Let me just quickly go to my desktop and delete it.
That's a beautiful wallpaper.
Thank you. I keep saying, actually, depending on who asks, it's my own wallpaper or my own desktop. But now, let me be honest, it's one of the pictures I got from marketing. But yeah. Depending if someone asks me specifically, yes, of course, I'm doing arts. I mean, every day, I'm like Picasso for that. All right, so going back here, let me save that picture on my desktop. Now, Erdal.
Yes?
I'm really sorry.
What happened?
Let me show you. You know, imagine this is now your desktop, right? This is a file. And imagine this is a confidential file I sent you. And I knew when I hired you, you had this background, this ethical hacker background.
Yes.
But hey, ethical. You said, hey, trust me, man. Don't worry. I'm a good guy, right? So, you know, I was monitoring your activities and noticed that some suspicious emails going out from your account to the DNet and to CNN and so on. And, well, I didn't want to tell you before because I wanted to make sure that you don't have the time in order to copy those data out of our network, in order to copy it to a local hard drive. So you know what I did? I'm sorry that I will let you know in 5 minutes that I fired you. But
that means I can still enjoy the next 5 minutes.
Yes. So in the next 5 minutes, I will show you how I mitigate the risk that you are leaking that information you have on your desktop.
Okay.
So I'm going to Erdal Özkaya, mobile devices, view details. And really, all I do is now press here, wipe data. Wiping this data from your organization by forcing the erase all data on the device every time it tries to connect and so on. Okay?
Yeah.
Save. Okay. Let's do it one more time. Let's see again. Delete. Let's see. Okay. Okay, that's one of my favorites. You know, the demo gods in Microsoft. Let's see. Mobile phone doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Seriously? Okay. Let's do something else. Let's see. Sync it once. Syncing. Okay, let's go back to view details. Yes. Oh, come on. All right. So, what basically would happen is at that point.
Just go manually.
Hmm?
Do it manually. Exactly. Yes! So you can't fire me that easy, my friend.
Yes, I can't fire you. Sorry, I have to pay your paycheck. Okay, so what happens basically if you remote wipe command there? What happens is, as soon as happened is, and you try to open the screenshot here, it will tell you permission denied. And do you know the reason why, Erdo?
Why?
Because what happens is we are removing, in this case, the Microsoft account here, right, from the mail app, and we are destroying the EFS key of that file. Because any file you're downloading from mail app is EFS encrypted. So as soon as
encrypted
I...
Encrypted file system, right?
EFS encrypted
just
file
system. Just in case
system.
Somebody
exactly.
doesn't know it.
So we have that security measurement available for the mail app. Now you would say maybe, hey, well, I don't use the mail app really so much. We are aware of it. The same security measurement, the same capability is available for work folders, right? So this is a new capability with Windows Server 2012 R2, I think. R2, yes. Yeah, with R2. As well as we have the commitment across Microsoft that more and more apps will have that capability. And we're working with ISVs together in order to have the support also for their tools, right? I mean, just imagine this specific scenario. You have an employee, you will go different ways, and you don't want that he's using that information he has on his computer at the next company he's working for. So all you do is a remote wipe through ActiveSync, for example, and it destroys the EFS key, and boom, he doesn't have access to that data anymore.
So even though the PC is mine, the data is not mine, and you're blocking my access to the data.
Exactly. And
data.
Strictly speaking, that data is not yours at all. It's a company data, right?
But I didn't make the data.
You made the data, but it's company data.
But I was getting paid for it, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And you have an agreement to not share it.
Yes. True. So this is actually a good point where we talked in the beginning as well, when we talk about the security policies.
Yeah.
This is bringing the importance of the policies. So if you make it clear in the policies, it will be also clear. I can't just say, I don't know. And that's why we have login messages. You are just about to use a corporate device, this and that. You know, this is helping. Having a proper security policy is helping us to be able to not face difficulties like that.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the other tools or capabilities I want to quickly showcase is something called AppLocker. I think we didn't cover that much AppLocker than we should have done maybe in the past, right? From if you look into the conferences, if you look at what's available on TechNet. But I think particularly now with BYOD is going mainstream, we need to really prioritize and look into AppLocker scenarios. So for those who are not aware of AppLocker, it is basically a capability in order to whitelist or blacklist applications depending on your IT strategy. Let me show you how that looks like. Right. Let's hope that the demo gods are with us on that one.
That's easy.
That's easy,
work.
Exactly. So on the server, on my domain controller, let me just go on my domain controller. Let's see. Come on. There you go. Type in my secret password.
Promise I'm going to get that password.
Well, you will know it for sure. It's a standard password for Microsoft for any demos. All right, so let me go to group policy. Forest, domain, itpro.com, app locker, and hit on edit. Now, all I have to do is go to policies, Windows settings, computer, Windows settings, security settings, and I have here the application control policies, AppLocker. So let's see what it does for me. All right, so quick information on AppLocker in general, and then it offers me to configure rule enforcement. Let's go ahead and check what is available for me. Okay, specify whether AppLocker rules are enforced for each rule collection. So what are the collections available for me? Executable rules, Windows installer rules, script rules, and package app rules. So package apps, for those who are unfamiliar with the terminology, are modern apps. So that's actually a new capability of AppLocker. So now I can say I want to configure it. Configure. And now I have the two choices. I either want to enforce that specific rule or that specific rule for that collection, or I want to audit it. I want to know if the users are not doing what I told them before so that I get the audit logs about it. Let's enforce all the rules. Hit apply. Okay. And now, of course, I want to configure it. So what I would recommend is, first of all, click on automatically generate rules. Right? Oh, sorry. Click on create new rules. You specify if you want to allow something, so whitelisting or blacklisting, deny. You define the user or a group you want to enforce that for. Click next. Then you choose how you want to, what are the conditions for AppLocker for that policy. Do you want to filter it by publisher, by path, or by file hash? Let's go by file hash. Choose browse files. Let's say I don't want people to use Notepad. Next, create. And now it's giving me a warning saying, hey, you don't have the default rules enabled. And Errol, can you imagine what could be the default rules from a Microsoft tool which is supposed to block certain executables and certain DLLs? What could be the default rule he wants to add in order to make sure that the system integrity is still working? Could it be maybe some system executables?
Definitely,
exactly. So let me click yes. So what it does is it adds a rule saying, hey, allow everyone to start application on the program files, on the Windows, and anything which is started by the built-in administrator group. Okay, so let me just switch that one to deny, actually. And now I will don't follow best practices, so let me delete those. All right, so now I have this group policy in place. See? That's done from their side. Let's go to my client. What is important here to mention is that there's a service which is disabled by default. Let me just show you, I think I turned it on already. Yes, it's called application identity. This is, as you can see, it's stopped right now and it's set on manual. So my recommendation would be, if you want to use AppLocker, of course, you need that one. So you can activate that one, set it on automatic, start, apply, done. So since I changed the group policy, let me update it here, gp update dash force. Oh yeah, I'm still in pass the hash. Okay, so.
Oh, could you still pass it?
But hey, never mind already. Now remember, I deleted the default app locker policies, Erdal. Yep. Now remember why I told you it's so important to have the default app locker policies?
No,
because
can you remind
of the because of the system integrity, Erdal. Now what happened is I'm trying to open a specific application, which is in this case command.exe, and the error message said, this program is blocked by group policy. For more information, contact your system administrator. And this only happens because I didn't have the default AppLocker policies. So right now I'm blocking everything except notepad.exe.
If you ask me what is my favorite tool about AppLocker as an independent professional, mm-hmm. You know, it's just giving you two options, allow or block. That's it. If you want to allow it, you allow it. Otherwise, you block it. Simple.
Yeah, very good point. And I think it just makes sense for enterprise to evaluate because, hey, those features are built in. You don't need new infrastructure for it. You don't need licensing fee. It's already in there. Just evaluate it and implement. I mean, seriously, from all those engagements I've been and start talking about AppLocker, number one was, oh, there is something like this? Then I tell them, hey, you know that AppLocker, I mean, it all started, I think, back in, when was it? XP timeframe with
software restriction policies.
Right? We did a lot of improvements around that, right? And it now also supports modern apps. So there's no point in saying, hey, no, I don't want to touch it. Just evaluate, give it a try. I mean, you see, all you have to do is activate the service, set up the group policy. And the group policy, like Adam mentioned, allow or deny. And then you choose a file hash or something. And it's very important because we have certain applications, I will not tell the names, but some other browsers, for example, who are installing in app data, for example, in the user context. Well, user account control will not react on that, for example.
I think I done this morning. I use a browser with add-on tools, yeah. And I just said this could be malicious, so you can just block me from the admin level, which will narrow my movement area, right?
Exactly, exactly. All right. Now, the last portion around the investments we have made in Windows 8.1 release was malware resistance. Within malware resistance, we focused on three pillars: device integrity, online safety, and trust but verify. So this means that we looked into, okay, how do we enhance Windows Defender, for example, right? So did you know, Adel, by now Windows Defender used to be an anti-spyware solution, right?
Yes, I think that's how it started.
It all started there. But then we said, hey, we have the strong pattern file with the strong engine from System Center Endpoint Protection. Why are we not update Windows Defender in a way, Adel, so that it's now a full-size anti-malware and anti-spyware solution? And that's what we did with the latest release. Now Windows Defender is an anti-malware and anti-spyware solution built in of your computer. I mean, the only difference, seriously, between Endpoint Protection and Windows Defender is manageability interface. So you have the web interface for the IT professional to manage it in an enterprise environment. And network scanning options. So this network layer protection comes with Endpoint Protection. But for the consumer, it was critical for us to have some anti-malware solution built in, because what we saw from our telemetry data is that lots of users, they have Defender on, or maybe not, they disable it, but they don't have another antivirus solution. Now, we are not saying you have to use Windows Defender, but what we did want to make sure is that you have some anti-malware solution till you maybe decide which anti-malware solution you want to go with.
So they can block it if they're necessary.
Exactly. Online safety, it's all about, like, okay, how do we protect the data, right? So information protection goes in there as well, for example. All right, one thing around cloud. And I know it's a kind of sensitive topic right now as well. One of the security features we announced, and we don't showcase it much right now, is something called Probable PC Health. Adel, be honest, have you heard about Probable PC Health before? I mean, before we start working on the slides.
Okay, thank you for clarifying the question, because you said, be honest, the answer is no.
Okay. So the idea of Probable PC Health is, every time you start your client, it sends a periodic heartbeat to a cloud-based system. What does it mean? It sends a measured boot log, as well as Action Center status. So Action Center, remember, provides information like, is the firewall on? Do I have the latest updates? Do I have a malware infection, depending if you are, for example, Defender? Right? So all those informations. Those information, we push it to the Windows Cloud Service. Now, the Cloud Service is responsible to consume that data for analysis purposes. And Adel, you know what then happens? What happens is basically very simple. Depending on the findings, we are sending machine and account remediation recommendations to the client so he can process those remediation work.
So without any SCM, MBA, not MBA, MBSA. So that's really cool.
Exactly. And we're working heartily with some ISVs already in order to make this mainstream, right? So we will hopefully see more and more ISVs who will offer this solution. Right now, I'm not saying, by the way, just to make it clear, we don't offer it as Microsoft, so there's no way you can subscribe for Probable PC Health. We are making this available to ISVs so that they can offer it to their customers, no matter if consumer or enterprises. Now, some more cool tools I want to talk about and quickly show to you. Oh, sorry about that. Is Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer, MBSA. Now, Adel, while I'm opening up this environment, could you quickly share us and talk about what MBSA is, Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer?
So it is, as the name says, a baseline security analyzer. What is a baseline? Baseline is when you start something new, you know, to make sure that you start from level that you know everything works fine, you don't have any viruses. So Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer is, you can install it later, right now. It's tool, which is, I think, 2.3 megabyte, which scans your domain or workgroup environment with your credentials or without the credentials. You can just set up the scanning methods. And remember my Metasploit? It was doing that. But this is totally free tool. And you're going to see the results. Really, it will tell you if you have any vulnerability. It will tell you any of your computer has some Windows update missing. Mm-hmm. It will even tell you your password ages, and it would recommend you the password, to change the password, Milad.
Thanks for that, Erdo. Very good comments and very good explanation. All right, so I have MBSA now open, right? Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer. Now, what are the options? I can either scan a specific computer by the name or the IP address, or I can scan multiple computers. Or, of course, if I've done that already, I can view existing security scan reports. Now, for me, I'm managing a bigger enterprise. I want to scan a specific range of IP. Let's say the computer of our executive of our execs. So I just say, okay, this is IP range from our execs. I specify the security report name, and then I can choose the options. What are the vulnerabilities? What are the scenarios I want to cover? I can say check for Windows administrative vulnerabilities, check for weak passwords. I mean, we cover, I think, more than enough around passwords and vulnerabilities around passwords. We can even say, hey, check IIS and SQL administrative vulnerabilities, check for security update states, and I can specify even which update services this tool should utilize. So is it the Windows Server Update Services, so WSAS, should it go for Microsoft Update or a specific offline catalog? Once I choose that, hit on scan, it will scan the environment, and after a while, depending on the IP range, depending on the computer performance and the network bandwidth, it will give me a report. Now, just for the sake of time, I prepared one of the sample reports already. So let me click on View Existing Security Scan Reports. So as I showed before, I have two computers in my test environment. I have a Windows 7 client, right? And I have a Windows 8 client. So one is 129.168.02 and the other one is 03. Now let me go to the Windows 8 report. And I literally didn't do any updates on this computer just to make sure you're able to see the in-depth information you're able to get with MBSA. So let's see what it says here. Security assessment. Computer name is Win8. IP address. When was it scanned? MBSA version. When did we last time synchronize the catalog, right? Okay. Now we can order it by score, worst first. And let's see. So Windows security updates. 5 security updates are missing. 3 service packs or update rollups are missing. Now I can say what was scanned, for example. And I get the detailed information on that. I get result details. Now I can even see, okay, which are the KB articles related to that security update, right? I can drill into that material. I see, oh my gosh, I mean, there's 2 critical updates which I didn't install. Then if I look into the Windows from an administrative vulnerabilities perspective, password expiration warning, all user accounts have non-expiring passwords, which is also not good. Can go again to result details. I see administrator, guest, and John have the same password. And I can just move on, like file system. All hardware are using NTFS file system is a check mark, for example. Here, Windows file, the check was skipped because it cannot be done remotely. Good, so I need to activate from remote control capabilities. So you see, lots of informations are coming in there. I highly recommend it. Really, if I go to a customer for a security engagement, typically what I do is first security compliance manual, like I showed in, I think, module 2 or 3, and MBSA. Those are my primary use.
Again?
Oh, it's not very Erdal. I know. A classical Erdal. How much does it cost? It's free. It's free. You just go to Microsoft.com, type in Microsoft Baseline Security Analyzer, download, have fun.
Microsoft.com/MBSA.
Exactly. And just to prove you, right, I show you my desktop right now, my modern UI. And look here, next my start screen, obviously, right? And then what do I have here? Microsoft Baseline Analyzer, Security Compliance Manager, Attack Surface, another great tool.
Oh, what is that?
And then some testing tools.
So what is that Attack Surface Analyzer?
Attack Surface Analyzer is basically a tool how you can compare the behavior of an operating system after you install applications.
Can you show it to me, please?
Okay, sure thing. I can do that. And basically what happens is, I will not do that just now because of sake of time, because if I done that on a production environment, it's going to take a little while. So Let me show you. Attack surface analysis scans the system to identify potential security issues, to isolate the results, blah, 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 blah. Basically, what it does, I run a scan, it creates a CAP file, then you will install that application you want to evaluate, run it again, and then you're just going to compare those files. So this tool is able to compare them, and you will see which vulnerabilities might be affected. So actually, one of the great examples could be, before you install some of the tools you were showing, Erdal, you just run Attack Surface Analyzer, then have a report ready, install one of those crazy tools from Erdal, run it again, and then you will see if there are any security vulnerabilities detected because you installed that application. So it's a great way to understand what is the impact of an application, which is very important.
All right. I think this is bringing us to the end of the day. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're absolutely right, sir.
Okay. I got a couple of surprises for you. So Milat, the guy who thinks he's secure, while he was doing that, you know, before the break, I just installed a keylog on his computer.
Uh-huh.
And can I get please go to my... can you please show my desktop? And I did get your password, my friend. So this is what a keylogger can do. Let's double click on it.
Really? Oh, empty password?
The password hash is here.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is, LM is disabled, and the NTLM password here is, do you want me to share it?
Do.
100% sure?
Not really, man.
All right. This will just prove that Milat Aslanov is doing a great job in protecting. Well done.
Dude, I was really scared. I was like, I never leave my machine unattended.
come on. So, three or four more things which we're going to... what I want to seriously highlight. First of all, Milat Aslanov, please go... Can I get my screen again? Please go ahead and like his page, please. He has to catch up, okay?
What do you mean I have to catch up? Only because only you have like 6,800... How many fans do you have? Seriously? 6,800?
Now that's likes, okay? Oh, so yeah. Not purchased from eBay, as you suggested.
What? I didn't suggest that, man.
Just joking. And a special thank you again for Daniel. He seriously shared some files with me. This is in Kuala Lumpur with me and him. And
go on your blog, yeah.
Yes. I got a couple of tutorial here.
Oh, really?
A couple of good ones. Actually, you're going to see yourself, my friend. I don't know if you went to my blog before, which I'm going to recommend. Don't worry, not this one.
Oh!
All you ever wanted to know about Windows Mobile apps and slide loading options, this is really a good session as well, yeah. Which I want you to watch it. So go to my blog. You know, besides watching my great videos, you can just watch the videos. And I think there is one more thing. If you remember, since the morning, I was fighting with the camera crew.
Yes.
And this guy thought he was unhackable. So, guys, please applause our guy behind the scenes. We have hundreds of people here. Actually, we got today only two people with us here, but gentlemen, can you please come here? And thank you very much for your help, both of you, please. No. I want, come on, mister. So you're gonna wonder why Erdal did not hack this dang guy. Can you please come here?
He looks really surprised, right?
Danny,
how many
sorry,
times did that
again,
happen before?
Unaccepted.
This is a rare thing.
Yeah. Can you please? A bit more here. If you wonder why I did not hack this guy, read his shirt. Dangerous.
Dangerous people.
Hey, look at his eyes. So I'm not that dumb. And if you're wondering, we can't see you. If you're wondering who was answering most of the questions, it was our friends here. So thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Then thank you very much for you to watching us. From the feedbacks, seriously, we are extremely happy. I think if you promise to be that interactive, if you promise to go and watch it later again, we are more than happy to, you know, in the soon time, hopefully, we can maybe put something together as well.
Definitely.
It's all up to your feedbacks. Make sure you hammer the clicks, you good feedback to us.
Yeah.
If you like the session, Milat and Erdal. If you didn't like the session, my
Marcus
name is Mark Rosinovic and Bill Gates.
Ah, Bill Gates, a good one.
All right, so like us, don't like them.
Like all right. Come on.
Just joking.
All right, guys. It was really great. And hopefully you learned a lot around defense in depth strategy, around operations part, around, of course, Windows security itself, right? How do you mitigate those common threats we see right now? And with that, best of luck in the future. I hope you enjoyed it. And some of you, see your tech at, if you're there, come over to the booth, Windows, or as well as of
course,
come to our sessions.
We got two of them.
We got two sessions, bulletproofing, network security, and social engineering. And I know you're doing one with Raymond as well, right?
Yes, client-side attacks, hacker tools that can prevent you guys from getting hacked. So
when you were thinking about
it. Yeah, I think about it. Will it really protect? But you saw today lots of tools. Yeah. We're going to... It's deep dive at TechEd. We are going to give you the deep dive again. I have a session with Yuri at Hacker Halted. Hopefully, you're going to join us as well.
Hopefully.
It's a good one as well. So if you're around, please keep an eye at marksofvirtualacademy.com.
Yeah.
And believe or not, as an MCT, as an MVP, I think I'm in top three in my country as well in Australia.
Really?
So even I go and do most of the courses. I wrote a couple of mocks, like, but I still go because it's a wonderful tool seeing people like Milad, like other gentlemen or ladies, they do this session. I would like to personally thank to Microsoft to spend on Virtual Academy.
Yeah.
And on Milad for inviting me to the session.
You're most welcome.
And on myself too. No, just...
All right, guys.
Thank you
very much. Have a great day.
See you
thank
later.
Thank you so much.
Keep in touch online. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.